Judges 14, verse 1. God's word says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among our people? Must you go to this uncircumcised Philistine to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, Get her for me. She's the right one. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at this time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah, together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the young lion apart with his bare hands, as you might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Some time later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he had scooped out with his hand and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Brilliant. Let me ask you to come with me to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. We're going to look at the first 9 verses together. We're going to think tonight about a strong man's weakness. A strong man's weakness. You can maybe remember that this morning, as we started to think about Samson, we said this morning that Samson was a man who was destined for greatness. And yet he was a man that was also full of so many weaknesses. He was a man, on one hand, who was used powerfully by the Holy Spirit. And yet, on the other hand, he was a man who was ruled at times by the flesh, by his old sinful nature. He was a man, and we learned this morning, who was dedicated to the Lord even from his birth. And yet there was so much about him that was dedicated to self, as we're going to see tonight and in other studies. The Spirit of the Lord had been stirring Samson. If you go back to chapter 13, verse 25, that's what it says. The Holy Spirit started to stir him. And I think that's very, very powerful language. Here was a man, he'd been prayed for, and when he came into the world and as he started to grow, the Spirit of the Lord started to stir him. And yet, as we're going to learn tonight, Samson now was stirred with other desires, with other pursuits, with other pleasures that certainly weren't honoring to the Lord. Let me briefly recap where we went to this morning. Look at this first point. Samson had so much going for him. And I can't emphasize that enough tonight. Samson had so much going for him. If you go back just for a wee moment with me into chapter 13 of Judges, let me give you 6 things that Samson had going for him, as we learned this morning in chapter 13. Firstly, in verses 2 and 3, we saw Samson's birth was announced by the angel of the Lord. And we learned this morning that the angel of the Lord was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Then secondly, in verses 3 to 5, we saw that when Samson was to come, he was to begin the deliverance of the people of Israel. Thirdly, we saw in verse 5 that Samson was to be dedicated to the Lord through a Nazarite vow all the days of his life. Do you remember we said there was just 3 guys in Scripture who were dedicated to the Lord under a Nazarite vow? There was Samson, there was Samuel, and there was John the Baptist. Fourthly, in verse 8, we saw that Samson was blessed with praying parents, with godly parents, with Manoah and his wife, a very godly couple. Fifthly, if you go to verse 24, you will see that the blessing of the Lord was upon his life. In fact, out of all the judges, Samson is the only one who is specifically described that the Lord blessed him. And sixthly, in verse 25, we see that the Holy Spirit empowered him in supernatural ways. So here was a guy, spiritually speaking, we would say this guy had it all. This guy was landed spiritually. This guy's life was packed full of spiritual potential. This guy should have gone places for God. This guy should have done so much for God. But let me say tonight, by way of application, every person who is here, who is saved, also has been blessed in so many ways by the Lord. The boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. Think of the spiritual privileges, believer, that has been showered upon your life and showered upon my life. The favor of God has been upon our lives. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 1 verse 3. According to Romans chapter 8 verse 16, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But here's my challenge. Despite all of these blessings that have been upon every Christian, are we enjoying the blessing? Or are we wasting the blessing? Samson had it all. And yet, as we're going to learn, it slipped through his fingers. Samson had so much going for him. Secondly tonight, where did Samson go wrong? That's the question that's in my heart. As I've been praying through these scriptures and preparing this, where did Samson go wrong? That's what I've been praying. Samson was physically strong and yet spiritually weak at times. Look at this quotation. Samson was a man of faith, but he certainly wasn't a faithful man. Isn't that profound? He was a man of faith. You remember we said this morning he was in Hebrews 11 in God's Hall of Fame. He is specifically highlighted there as one of God's heroes in his Hall of Fame. A man of faith, but he certainly wasn't a faithful man. And we're going to learn tonight in Judges chapter 14 that he made a number of costly mistakes. Look what Stephen Alford, the Bible teacher, said, the late Stephen Alford. The most deadly sins do not leap on us, they creep on us. And we're going to see that quotation becoming true in these opening 9 verses of Judges chapter 14 tonight. We're going to see sin not leaping on Samson, but creeping subtly upon Samson's life. Here's the first thing I want you to see. He went to the wrong place looking for the wrong thing. Look at verse 1. Look at the opening verse of Judges 14. It says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. Will you notice that the author of this book, the author says he went down. And of course the author is meaning that Samson went down to Timnah. He means he went down geographically. But I also believe, as we're going to learn tonight, he was about to go down spiritually. Timnah was in Philistine territory. It was about 4 miles from Samson's home in the little village of Zorah. And in this first public scene in Samson's life, so to speak, Samson leaves the land of Israel. And where does he go? He goes down to the land of the Philistines looking for a wife. Then look at the second verse, verse 2. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. And although Samson's parents object, look at verse 3. He says, get her for me. She is the right one for me. Now the commentators tell us in verse 3 that a literal translation of verse 3 could be, she is right in my eyes. Now that's very, very significant. She is right in my eyes. Because remember this morning we were learning that the Israelites were doing what was right in their eyes but wrong in the Lord's eyes. And we're going to learn tonight that Samson had a problem with his eyes. He is a guy that's so impulsive. One commentator says when he saw this woman, it was lust at first sight. And when you study Samson, you see again and again that he had an eye problem. In fact, if you turn over to Judges 16, to the end of his life, just before he commits suicide, in verse 21, he has lost his sight. The Philistines have gouged out his eyes. But is Samson's attitude here not typical of the spirit of the age in which we're living in 2018? If it looks good, go for it. If it looks appealing, I must have it. And isn't that the mark of our hedonistic society today? A society that's drunk in pleasure. A society that's no longer seeing things through God's eyes, but pursuing what is right in their own eyes. Samson couldn't control his eyes. He lusted with his eyes. He was guided by his eyes rather than the law of the Lord. Do you remember the little chorus? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a father up above and he's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And all of us, myself included, all of us have to be careful with our eyes, what we see. Satan has used the eye gate to entice and seduce so many people into sin. The Philistine woman that tempts you can appear on TV. She can appear on the internet. She can appear in some very suggestive advertisement. Sensuality is easily the biggest obstacle to godliness among men today. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't hold back. He said in Matthew 5:28, I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Psalm 119 verse 37 says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. So here is Samson. He goes down into Philistine territory looking for a wife. And he goes back to his parents. And what's the cry to his parents? Get her for me. She's the right one. She looks good in my eyes. Samson was looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing. And let me tell you, the devil made sure that he found it. That was his first step on a slippery slope. Here's a second step. Point B, he rejected godly counsel. The downward spiral continues. Look at the strong reaction of Samson's parents to this news that he wants to marry a Philistine girl. Look at verse 3. His father and mother replied, Is there not an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all the people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? Notice that word uncircumcised. That's a very significant word. Because remember, circumcision was a sign that you belonged to the people of God. It was the sign of the covenant. You were part of God's covenant people if you'd been circumcised. And here is Manoah and his wife saying to Samson, hang on, son. You don't need to go there for a wife. Don't go to the unbelievers for a wife. Samson's proposed marriage to a Philistine woman was clearly forbidden by the Lord. His parents knew it, and Samson knew it. But as I read Judges 14, I see that Samson didn't really care what his parents thought. And if I was being really honest with you tonight, I don't believe Samson really cared what God thought either. Because in Deuteronomy 7, the children of Israel had been explicitly commanded not to seek husbands or wives from the surrounding pagan nations. Listen to verses 3 and 4 of Deuteronomy 7. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And the principle is the same principle. We spelled it out when we were looking at the amazing subject of marriage. A believer is always only to marry in the Lord. Christians should only give their hearts emotionally to those that love the Lord with all of their hearts. But Samson blatantly rejected his parents' advice. And by doing that, you know what also he was doing? He was breaking the fifth commandment. He wasn't honouring his father and his mother. And Samson now is not only listening to the warning, he's not listening to the warning signs that's coming from his parents. But now, if you notice this text very carefully in verse 3, he is really telling his parents what to do. Look again at verse 3 at the second half of the verse. Get her for me. She's the right one for me. Now hold on a wee moment. That again, by way of application, is the spirit of the age in 2018. I want it. And I'm going to have it. And dear help anybody that stands in my way of getting it. And that was the mindset of Samson. But please notice something in verse 4. Look what the Bible says in verse 4 of this chapter. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at this time they were ruling over Israel. Now please note, verse 4 is clearly not saying that Samson was right to marry this Philistine woman. Nor does this mean that God planned the sinful disobedience of Samson. God is not the author of sin. But listen to me very carefully. God can, and listen to my words, God can sinlessly use sin for his glory. What Samson did and going after this Philistine woman was wrong, but God sinlessly used this to accomplish his will for his glory. Listen, because God uses a circumstance does not make him the architect of that circumstance. God uses this act of disobedience to give Samson an occasion to attack Israel's enemies, the Philistines. And you know, that's amazing. Because in all of our lives, isn't it true, there's times when we disobey the Lord, when there's times when we step out of the will of God for our lives. And does the Lord give up on us when we step out of his will? No, he doesn't. He even uses the stupid things we do. He even uses our disobedience. Dare I say, he even uses our sin, but he uses it sinlessly for his glory. After all, God used the betrayal of Judas to do what? To get Christ to the cross of Calvary. This is teaching us that something about the providence of God, that he can bring something good out of the stupid things we have done. But notice how the story goes on. Drop down to verse 7. It says, then he went down to the woman and he liked her. Now that's very significant, because remember, here is Samson, this guy, and he is driven by sight. Look what one commentator says. He says, Samson is hormone driven, not spirit driven at this point. I can just imagine Samson is all smiles. He thinks he's found Miss Wright, so to speak. But as we're going to see, especially next Sunday morning, the smiles wouldn't last and the dreams would soon turn to a nightmare. So he went to the wrong place, looking for the wrong thing. He rejected godly counsel. And look at the third thing. He played fast and loose with his spiritual commitment. I wonder, did you remember when I was reading this passage tonight that Samson was brought up under a Nazarite vow? Because look at verses 5 and 6. It says, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached, what's the next two words? The vineyards. Samson, that's a place you don't go because you're dedicated to the Lord. Suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. So he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might tear a young goat. Secondly, he wasn't to touch a dead body. So do you see the warning signs everywhere? According to verse 5, Samson is attacked as he approaches this vineyard at Timnah. And my question is, what is a Nazarite doing going near a vineyard? You read carefully Numbers chapter 6, and you can see that he grew up under a Nazarite vow. He wasn't to touch wine or drink wine or anything from the vine. Samson was playing. He was playing fast and loose. He thought he was immune to temptation. And let me say what I said this morning. Before we stop just here and say, oh, tut, tut, Samson, how could you do it? Hang on tonight. We at times play fast and loose with temptation as well. Jesus says in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you'll not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to ask you tonight, are you flirting as a believer with sin? Samson was a flirt. Maybe romantically he was a flirt, but what concerns me most was spiritually. He was a spiritual flirt. He was brought up under a Nazarite vow. And yet here he was going near a vineyard. Here he was killing this lion, touching a corpse. He's playing fast and loose with spiritual commitment. And as if all that isn't enough, then go down to verses 8 and 9. Samson by this stage is travelling alone, and he stops by the vineyard to revisit the scene of his great exploit of killing this lion. And he finds the bees have built a honeycomb inside the dried out carcass of the lion. And what does he do? He stoops down, he scoops out the honey with his hand, and he eats some as he walks along, and he gives some to his parents. And again, he's touching something that's dead. And again, in a sense, he's turning up his nose at the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, I grew up under this vow not to touch anything that was dead, but Lord, I'm just going to push it as far to the limits as I possibly can. You know, he began to value his consecration to the Lord less and less, didn't he? And I believe he became comfortable skating as close to the edge as possible. And let me tell you, there's a lot of Samsons around in Northern Ireland tonight, professing Christians, who are skating, spiritually speaking, as close to the edge with the world and with sin as they can be. In all honesty, are you drifting away from the Lord tonight? In all honesty, is there someone listening to my voice tonight and you're playing fast and loose with spiritual commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? And Samson is here, and he's a solemn reminder to us tonight from Judges 14 that it's dangerous to skate near the edge. Are you flirting with sin tonight? Listen to James 4, verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vows to God. Just as marital adultery is sinful, spiritual adultery is sinful. Listen, believer, when you gave your life to the Lord, you promised, you vowed, you covenanted with the Lord that He would be your first love. And the challenge to my heart tonight and the challenge to your heart tonight is He still your first love? Or are you flirting with the world tonight? Over the years in First Saintfield, how many communicant members, I don't know whether they've taken their vows in public, they should take their vows in public, how many communicant members, maybe 300 of them, have made promises to God and they can't be bothered to come to church on a Sunday night, folks? There's something more attractive. There's another love in their lives. And it's not the Lord and it's not His word. Can I say the real problem in our churches today is that we don't love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. The real problem in the church today is spiritual adultery. That's the problem of the church today. We've got other lovers. Other things are more attractive. Other things make our hearts beat quicker than Jesus makes our hearts beat. In fact, the only part of his Nazarite vow that Samson didn't break in this chapter was that he didn't break having his hair cut, although he breaks that eventually. So here's a guy, a believer in the Lord, packed full of spiritual potential, and yet he is escaping as close to the edge as he possibly can be. Ring any alarm bells tonight? Challenge anybody tonight, including myself. A strong man's weakness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Father, sometimes when we look at some of these Bible characters, we can identify more with their failures than we can with their successes. And Lord, as we look at Samson tonight, he's skating pretty close to the edge. He's flirting with sin. He's not cherishing his consecration to you anymore. He's going as far as a believer possibly can. He's making a mockery, O God, of the promises and vows that were made to God over his life. And Lord, we could get so judgmental of him, but Lord, we're no better. We're no better. Because Lord, at times we love to flirt with sin as believers. At times as believers, Lord, we love to skate close to the edge, as it were. Lord, will you challenge us tonight if that's the way we've been living? And Lord, I pray that we will fear sin. I pray that we will fear the world. And Lord, I pray that we will not live our lives as close to the world as possible. But I pray that we will live our lives as far from a world that will pull us away from you as possible. And Lord, if there's any here who have been committing spiritual adultery tonight, Lord, forgive us. If we have other lovers in our lives, forgive us, Lord. And may we love the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. And may Jesus have first place in these lives of ours. Lord, we never win when we skate close to the edge. We lose. And Lord, we're going to see that next Sunday morning specifically with Samson. Lord, bless these truths to us. May this be a wake-up call. May this be a warning to us tonight, Lord, to make Jesus number one, to live our lives on our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if we have been skating close to the edge, I thank you, Lord, that we can be forgiven tonight. And I thank you that burdens can be lifted at Calvary because Jesus is very near. Lord, if some of us need to go back to Calvary tonight, may we go back to Calvary before we start to move forward spiritually. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.